The 250th edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
We win! 54 to 53! North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan, jumper from out on the left, good! Fred Brown looking, right way to Worthy! Worthy five! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout,
technical
they're out
foul.
Of timeout! Technical foul! Technical foul on Michigan! They're out of timeout! And the party is ready to begin on Franklin Street.
Gets it back out to head. Long outside shot. Short rebounded. May! It's over! Carolina has won the national championship! 89-72. And how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champion.
Pump fake for three. Too strong on the shot. That's it! The Tar Heels are the national dadgum champion.
Love, guarded by Keels, gets a screen, pulls up for three.
Got it! Caleb Brooks straight away!
This is the Four Corners Podcast. Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Four Corners Podcast. We are powered by Carolina Electrical Services. Josh and Anthony, we're back with you guys once again tonight. Talking about an interesting topic that doesn't directly involve Carolina basketball, but it indirectly involves Carolina basketball, as Caleb Love has decommitted from Michigan and will re-enter the transfer portal. And there's a lot of people, a lot of fans in the Tar Heel community that want to see Caleb Love come back to Chapel Hill for his senior season. So we're going to talk about if that's something that should be on the table for him and what that would look like and a whole bunch more stuff. But before we do that, we start every edition of the pod as we always do. And we go to the birthday boy, the head coach of Carolina basketball. That is Hubert Davis, who is celebrating his birthday today. And his quote is, "I don't see any fear in trying something new. I think the fear is not to try something. It's important to tweak, to pivot, to alter, to change some things, to try to be the best that you can," end quote. And, you know, that was something that he talked about during a pretty frustrating year for Carolina. And a big reason why was the ineffectiveness of Caleb Love, a guy that just mired in a season-long shooting slump. That was a big reason why Carolina went 20-13 and missed the NCAA tournament altogether. And once Carolina missed the tournament and opted to not go to the NIT, it was a foregone conclusion that Caleb Love was going to transfer. And that's what happened. He transferred out of the program and landed at Michigan. And earlier today, he decommitted from Michigan. Some of it was eligibility issues. He did not have the credits necessary to transfer to Michigan, which, of course, brought up a bunch of academic jokes on Twitter and Facebook from really, you know, Duke fans, NC State fans, Carolina haters, and the like. But the biggest thing was that, you know, this sparked a conversation within the community of, should Carolina be interested in welcoming him back for a senior year? They still got two scholarships available for the upcoming year. And you know, Elliot Cadu has yet to, you know, reclassify and join the roster. Jaron Stevenson has yet to commit and reclassify. So those things aren't foregone conclusions that's going to happen. And this was something that, honestly, I didn't really want to shed any light to. I didn't really want to talk about it. I didn't really think it was that much of a talking point. But my lovely co-host here, who will celebrate his birthday tomorrow, so happy early birthday to you, buddy. I mean, you texted me and you demanded we get on here and record. So you feel like it's something worth talking about. And maybe there is some momentum growing for Caleb Love to end up back in Chapel Hill next year after entering the portal, committing to another program, but now finds himself back in the program and his college basketball future right now unknown.
Well, the thing that you have to preface here, and thank you, appreciate the birthday wishes. I'm not a big birthday guy. Like at this point in life, why do I need to be celebrated? Like, who really cares? But back on the Caleb Love thing, yeah, I mean, I felt like this was just something that we had to talk about, not because this is not Caleb Love is potentially returning to Carolina. This is not that podcast. We need to make that clear. Matt Norlander, who was part of the group that broke the news, pretty much, I mean, this is one of the first times I've ever seen this. Pretty much every reporter had this news at the same exact time. There were a bunch of different angles, but Matt Norlander, I think, kind of laid it out the best from CBS and said, there is, at this time, it doesn't seem like there is a chance that he will return to Carolina. That means he's just going to, you know, potentially look elsewhere. And in terms of the academic stuff, I mean, it seems like I don't really know what this means. To be honest with you, it really makes you wonder if this is part of the reason why he is no longer at Carolina. Because, and people, you know, as you mentioned, the jokes are out there. Carolina's academic standard pretty high as well. So I don't really, like, this doesn't really make a whole lot of sense why the credits wouldn't transfer unless, I mean, again, there's things when it comes to college. And I mean, we dealt with it on a much, much smaller level. But I remember when I went through community college and then, you know, was attempting to go to bigger universities, they told me, look, some of the classes that you took, you probably took for no reason. They're not going to transfer. So you will more than likely have to do, you know, three and a half years of college. And so that, I mean, that's part of just how it works. So I don't really know what exactly the scenario is there, but it doesn't seem like this is not something where it seems like it's bad enough to where he won't go anywhere. Because you feel like if it was that bad, it would be pretty clear that, look, he's going to have to significantly transfer down. And that could happen at some point. But the thing is that the reason I felt like we had to do this podcast is that I saw more people than when he originally left that seemed to now be on the train of, we want Caleb back. There was that push right before he made it official that he was entering the transfer portal where we all kind of knew, okay, this dude probably isn't coming back. But there were still a lot of people that wanted him to return that were saying, you know, I hope he sticks, he stays here. I hope the staff reconsiders or whatever. And now it feels like a lot of those people are back as well. But now it seems like there's even more people that have been added to this. And I got to be honest, I don't really understand how you go from somebody that wanted him gone or really just, you know, felt indifferent about the move to now wanting him back. Nothing against Caleb, but isn't the situation for the Tar Heels right now better than it was when he originally left? Like, I don't know. Like, you're talking about Harrison Ingram's here, former five-star prospect that a lot of Tar Heel fans were incredibly excited about landing. Cormac Ryan, who's a veteran in the ACC. And I mean, look, you can debate who is really the more who is the better player between Cormac Ryan and Caleb Love. But I think we've all come to the conclusion that Cormac Ryan kind of fits what this team needs right now better than Caleb Love would probably fit this team right now. So I don't really get where this added push for him to return comes from. And it's nothing against Caleb. It's more about the way that this roster is made up right now I just don't really understand why people would say, well, let's add him back to the fray as well. Not to mention all the issues that could potentially be there in the locker room that may have to get smoothed over if this was an actual thing that could happen.
You know, I think the thing is, when I think about this, is that, like, it was just very evident when the season came to an end that both parties needed to part ways. And whether that was fair to him or not, I don't know. It was three mentally exhausting years watching Caleb Love play basketball. And a lot of it's not all his fault. Like, look at the situation he was put into as a freshman, having to play during a pandemic in what turned out to be a Hall of Famer's last year. And then his second year, he's got a first-time head coach. And then they win one of the biggest games in the history of the greatest rivalry in sports. That sparks a run to the national championship game. Then you come back to try to get back there and finish the job. You mildly underwhelm. And with that comes a lot of criticisms. And so it just felt like, for Caleb Love, more importantly, it was time for a fresh start, to go somewhere to repair his name, his image, and his NBA draft stock. And it felt like it was time for Carolina to usher in a new era of basketball under Hubert Davis, kind of really feel like for the first time this was going to be kind of his program with his stamp on it. And, you know, if Caleb Love was what Armando Bacot was and is, a guy that, you know, like, loves and lives for the program, I think it would be a lot easier to say, hey, you know, yeah, we'd welcome them back with open arms. But that's just not the case. I'm not calling Caleb Love selfish by any means, but let's also not act like this guy was all about, you know, the name on the front of the jersey is 3 years he was at Carolina. And, you know, this was just a guy that, you know, had a toxic relationship with the fan base. This is a guy that openly admitted in a press conference he didn't play hard in the first half of at the time, a pretty important road game at Notre Dame 2 years ago. So I think there's just so much that complicates this, but I don't see. If you could tell me, without a doubt, you bring him back, you're marginally a better basketball team. I don't argue it, because I want to win. I don't see how he comes back, you're marginally better. I really don't. Like, there's as much as him and RJ Davis wanted to downplay them being a rift between them, there's something there. It was too obvious. It was too evident.
Well, and look, it may not all be. I mean, we a lot of stuff was put into, you know, the relationship that they had with certain females on campus, whatever. Part of this may have been on RJ and just the attitude that he took after, you know, what was reported in the Brendan Marks article, that he got mad in the preseason about not being considered a point guard. And maybe, you know, maybe the coaching staff sat down with him, or even when they were going through, you know, some of the stuff in the summer, maybe Caleb was saying, look, I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be the primary ball handler again this year. And RJ just didn't like that. You're right. There's just something there between him. And here's the other thing about Caleb. Like, look, if you're bringing him back and you're thinking that he could, that this team could be marginally better with him, you're betting on the fact that last year was the inefficiency that was as bad as it gets. There's no way that he can really be that inefficient again. And I mean, look, you're probably right, but I don't know. Like, is that worth it with everything else that is going on? My thinking with this, doesn't it feel like he did everything he can do here? Like, you hit the biggest shot in the biggest rivalry in sports. You were the engineer behind a team that went to the national championship game as an 8 seed and led by 15 points at halftime. Like, I think he kind of did what he could do here. I don't think he can accomplish much more. So this makes sense for him to move on, right? I mean, that's how, I mean, I feel like that should be where most people are.
Well, I mean, like, just look at the way that he left. Like, for as much as this fan base was frustrated with him, you know, for the most part, his left, when he left, it was a positive, like, you know, like a lot of, it was just a lot of thank yous. We'll never forget what you did. Leading us on the run to the national championship, the shot against Duke, blah, blah, blah. So it kind of just felt like, you know, we left on good terms, you know. You come back and you do what you did again, you know, from a team standpoint next year, that probably results in your head coach getting fired. It's not going to be the same whenever you exit the program again. And so I'm with you. I mean, did he accomplish everything? No. They won a national championship. So
that's the only thing. If he came back, that's the only thing that he could do to improve his legacy, right? If he doesn't do that, I mean, do we really remember him any differently?
Oh, no, that
probably not. No.
But, you know, it's just a complicated thing. And, like, look, I'm not going to sit here and say today that I love what the team looks like going into next year. I don't know if I love it. I really, really like it. And I really like their potential. And I don't want something to stand in the way of that. And fair or unfair, Caleb Love at times last year stood in the way of their potential. It was just – and look, a lot of it was – this was a guy that had the most confidence of any shooter I've ever seen in my life. Like, if I had half the confidence he had on the basketball court in the dating world, I'd have a girlfriend. Because he thought he could take every – he thought he could make every single shot. And don't get it twisted. A lot of Hubert Davis's sets kind of funneled the ball into him in a situation where he was taking a bad shot, and I get that. But it was just also like there were times that Carolina looked better without him on the court. And I'm interested to see what that would look like this upcoming year with R.J. Davis and Armando Bacot back, with the way you filled in the roster with other guys, mainly Harrison Ingram and stuff like that. So it's really just weird because, like I said, if this was a guy that, you know, was unashamed and was very just evident and prevalent that he lived for Carolina, I would have no problem saying, come back. We'll welcome you back in with open arms. And look, he posted a thank you when he left and did some really nice things upon his exit. But I never once felt in the 3 years he played basketball that it meant something more to him than that he was just playing college basketball. And maybe that's wrong.
I don't know. I never saw
a level of emotion that you've seen from other guys that allow us to get attached to him the way that we get attached to him.
I mean, not every player is going to be like that. Are we saying that Armando's the most emotional player in the world?
The guy said he'd die for the university and the program.
I look, but what I'm saying is that if you're judging just based on emotions on the court, like, dude, if you're going off of that, then your favorite Tar Heel players should be Tyler Hansborough and Bryce Johnson. Like, because those dudes, I mean, you talk about guys that literally just laid it all out on the line every time they were out there. The emotion just poured out at all times. Like, I don't know. To me, like, I don't think that's fair. I mean, we saw last year during the tournament run, that dude played with a ton of passion. I think he cared about the university. Here's the thing. The fact that we have heard from people that this guy wanted to stay at Carolina, I think that shows you that there's a passion. Because what the hell else is he staying for? The fan base? The fan base hates this dude for the most part. Like, there is a good portion of the fan base, I should say. The majority of people do not take this approach. But there is a rather sizable portion of the fan base that cannot stand this dude, that celebrated when they found out this dude was going to potentially be leaving, that were telling him towards the end of the season, we want you gone. He wasn't staying here for the fan base. NIL money. Dude, you can go just about anywhere and get the NIL money, especially when you're talking about Indiana. Some of the Missouri, probably not the same, but Indiana, you could go there and get the same money, if not even more. Because Indiana, that's all they got. I don't care that their football program's been better the last few years. Dude, Indiana is literally basketball, and that's it. The rest of their athletic department is not great. I think he clearly loves – there's something about the university that he loves. I just think it's smart for him to move on and, you know, find a spot that maybe fits him a little bit better in terms of what's on his plate. I really think with him, one of the things that happened with him was when he came in, you remember that he was taking over for Cole Anthony. Well, the expectation was, hey, second straight true freshman point guard. This is a guy that we need to come in and pretty much be the guy. Because remember, before his freshman season, Armando wasn't really what Armando is now, not even close. And there wasn't really like he was coming in with RJ Davis. RJ didn't have the expectations that he did. There were a lot of questions around that team. So for him, I think he felt like there was a lot of pressure on him right out of the gate. He struggled a little bit. And we said, okay, well, he's a freshman. And then last year, people are expecting him to grow, to make a huge leap. And he did, but it didn't come until late in the season. And then again this year, you know, all the pressure was on the team in general, but again on him. Hey, this is your time to step up. We talked about it in the preseason. We need you and RJ, but especially you, to be more efficient. You're the key to this team being better. So I wonder if the pressure really just got to him. Would go into a place, and I don't think that's Missouri. I feel like Missouri, you're the guy. You're going to have to be, because it looks like Kobe Brown is either going pro or he could potentially be in the portal. Although I don't remember if he entered his name. It's so hard to keep up with those types of things with guys in the draft. That could present a decent, you know, situation for him where he doesn't have to be the guy every time down the floor. He'd be coached by Mike Woodson, who's been in the NBA, who's coached guys like him before. You know, we go back to a guy like Carmelo Anthony, who was a volume shooter, a guy that, you know, looked for isolation offense a lot. And Mike Woodson sort of learned how to coach him and with that challenge, and we saw, took the Knicks to the second round of the NBA playoffs for the first time in a long time. So, I don't know. I think this is the right decision for him, but I've never questioned him as a guy that doesn't love the university. I mean, I've been frustrated with him. The moment that you brought up against Notre Dame last year, yeah, that's one where you're kind of like, really? But, I mean, that's not one of those dudes that I say, man, this dude doesn't care about this program. Because if he didn't, he, put it this way, we've said before, he will eventually probably come back to the university in some capacity. They will honor him or whatever. If he didn't care about the university, we would have said there's no chance this dude ever comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I just he's just a guy that will have as complicated a legacy as anyone probably in our lifetime, and
he's the most polarizing Tar Heel basketball player ever.
Like when I saw this start kind of gaining traction and momentum on social media, you know, the first thing I brought that popped in my head is we got three scholarships. Would you rather have Caleb Love or Elliott Cadu on your roster next year? And I'm not bluffing when I say I'd rather have Elliott Cadu on our roster.
He's a better fit. Like, dude, this team needs a traditional point guard so badly.
Like, you're talking about a guy that
so terribly a year ago.
You're talking about a guy that overnight changes Carolina's transition offense.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't many people that I sit here and I salivate and I drool and my heart flutters when I watch them play basketball at the high school level, because it's high school. I've seen people that, you know, couldn't even play D3 dominate the high school level. Elliott Cadu is as legit a prospect that I've seen. He's too good to play high school basketball next year. Like, the High School Basketball Association should request that he reclassify just to save kids from being embarrassed on the court next year if he's on the same court with him.
Oh, wow.
That's how good he is. And the way that he advances the ball, pushes the ball up the floor, can score the ball the ways that he can score the ball. He changes what Carolina is in the half court and in the full court in the snap of the finger. And that's a big reason why they sucked last year, was because they couldn't generate easy offense. And it's really painful to watch, because for 18 years I've watched this program run up and down the court on just about anybody. And last year, we couldn't run up and down the court against middle-of-the-road ACC teams. Elliott Cadu fixes that. Caleb Love does not. There are still some other guys that you could identify in the portal at the wing or in the front court positions that could add some more talent, some more depth to that roster. And I just don't want Caleb Love standing in the way of that. If he wants to go somewhere and he can be the guy, whether it's at Indiana, whether that's at Missouri, kudos. Congratulations. I'm still going to root for you to have individual success as long as you're not playing Carolina. But your chapter and your time at UNC, it has come to an end. And, you know, the thing is I think we're all kind of forgetting this was put in motion when he had his exit interview at the end of the year, because it was reported he expressed an interest in returning, and Hubert Davis shut that door. Yeah. I don't want Hubert Davis backtracking on something that he's already decided to do, because I think he made the right decision. The right decision was it was time to move on and allow him to go somewhere else and try to flourish and try to get our program, which is the most important thing. Carolina basketball, while it's a player's program, no single player is bigger than the program. Not Michael, not Hansbrough, not James Worthy, Vince Carter, Antoine Jameson, none of the all-time greats. So Caleb Love isn't bigger than the program. And if Carolina wants to help him find his next home and he uses the resources that Carolina has with all the connections that they have in the basketball world, I'm fine with that. But he doesn't need to put on that uniform. He doesn't need to run out of that tunnel. He doesn't need to walk on the Dean Smith Center floor anymore. He needs to go somewhere else and understand that his time at Carolina has come to the end. And that's best for him. That's best for us. And it's at the end of the day, it's as a win-win situation as you're going to find in this era of the transfer portal in college basketball.
And look, I think he understands that. Again, there does not seem to be any legitimate smoke here that he could come back. I'm pretty sure he understands at this point the door is closed. Now, I'll ask you this. What if Carolina doesn't land the last two guys that they've landed in the transfer portal? So that means no Harrison Ingram, no Cormac Ryan. So everybody else, Paxton Wojcik, Jalen Withers, and who am I leaving out here? Or No, I don't think I'm leaving out anybody, right? Yeah, no, I'm not. There's so much turnover. So if it's just those two guys, no Cormack and no Harrison Ingram, would you want them? Would the answer be different?
No, the answer was never going to be different. When the season came to an end in the ACC tournament, I had retired myself from watching Kayla Love play for Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that because, like, Kadu, I think, felt obvious at one point. And, I mean, you talked about what he does transition-wise for Carolina. He will – I mean, even the half court, it'll look so much different offensively when he's out there because one of the things that we talked about so much – with Caleb here. And again, this is not just a Caleb issue. This could also, this can be attributed to RJ, can be attributed to a lot of the other guys that have played here over the past 2-3 seasons. There are times where the ball does not move offensively. The ball doesn't move. The players do not move without the basketball. Elliot Kadu will make this offense move in the open court and in the half court. That's what's the difference. And that's why, to me, I don't know if there was really any chance that he ever would have returned. I agree with you. Now, I do think that there probably would be some people inside the program that would be like, you know, because at this point, you would have missed on those other two guys. Cormack Ryan would have gone somewhere else, and so would Harrison Ingram by this point. They wouldn't be free agents. So you probably would have had to say, all right, well, who else is out there? But I tend to agree with you that I think it's just it's time to move on. There's no ill feelings. And I think, for some Tar Heel fans, and I get it. I get, you know, there are a tie to these players. We know it better than anybody as a fan base. Like it's the Tar Heel family. It's the Carolina family. Like this is when you are a part of it, no matter how good or bad you are, you're somebody that Tar Heel fans will love. They will follow their careers. It's just part of it. Unless you alienate yourself. Caleb Love didn't do that. Tar Heel fans will still follow him. But there's some that need to just accept, look, this dude is gone. He is going somewhere else. Carolina has moved on, and you need to too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's about the best way to kind of wrap up what's a conversation that I guess, you know, had to be had, just given, you know, it's good content, and with just the way that there was getting some traction and stuff on social media, you know, wish Caleb Love all the best moving forward. Whether that's, definitely, you know, at Indiana, Missouri, you know, wherever it is, I hope he goes and he finds peace and joy and loves the game of basketball again and plays at a high level and goes on to the NBA and, you know, makes millions of dollars and plays at a high level. And then 10, 15 years from now, we can welcome him back in the Smith Center and celebrate him the way that he deserves to be celebrated, for retiring the biggest villain in the history of maybe sports entirety, definitely in college basketball, in Coach K. And so, you know, and with that, we'll still be here monitoring Carolina's transfer portal activity. As I mentioned, they've got 3 scholarships available. We expect at least one of them to be a reclassified commit from the 2024 class. There could be a potential commit and reclassify as well. And of course, there's still some guys in the portal that Carolina will be recruiting throughout the remainder of the offseason as Shubert Davis starts to put the finishing touches on his roster ahead of what's going to be a very important 2023-2024 season for him. So with that, guys, this is going to wrap up this edition of the podcast. Before we let you go, we do encourage you guys to visit the website HeelToughBlog.com, where – We had an article up about Tyler Hansborough being inducted into the College Basketball Hall of Fame. We will come back later this week and kind of talk about that and have a fun conversation about Tyler Hansborough's legacy, both at Carolina and the ACC and around the college basketball world all together. Carolina football dipped into the transfer portal yesterday and added a kicker. There's an article on that site as well. All the latest football and basketball coverage, we'll have you covered. That's HeelToughBlog.com. As for the podcast, guys, you know where to find us by now. We're on every major podcasting platform. Just simply search the Four Corners Podcast and we will pop up. We're there. We do encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the remainder of the basketball off season. Well, with that, guys, this is going to wrap up this edition of the show. I want to thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Tar Heels.
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that.